This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. You've probably heard by now about Robin Williams' death yesterday. Police say he hanged himself. He was 63 years old. Many of us grew up with Robin Williams. He was a beloved comedian and actor. He's also part of a demographic that's particularly vulnerable to suicide: middle-aged white men with medical problems. Maybe not the first demographic most of us think about when we consider suicide. Sue Eastgard works to prevent suicide. She's director of training at Forefront, a University of Washington suicide prevention center. Sue told me there are a number of reasons why middle-aged white men with medical issues are at high risk for suicide.
First of all, just men in general across the lifespan are at higher risk for suicide. I think in particular middle-aged men are at risk because they don't tend to ask for help. I think there are issues related to what it means to ask for help, or if certainly having a medical condition that may compromise one's health or compromise one's feeling about oneself, feeling dependent, feeling lesser than. So I think those are some of the contributing factors. I would also suggest to you that it has something to do with just issues related to how to manage problems in one's life. When there's a disappointment, when there's a work failure, when there's a relationship breakup, you know, how are men schooled to handle those?
That makes me wonder then, what are the big differences in the way a woman or women might handle something like this as opposed to these men?
Well, typically we are schooled and trained as women to talk about problems, to externally share those problems, to ask for help, to ask others for advice, to figure out how to solve this. And externally we ask. Men seem to internalize and try to solve a problem by, I can do this myself, I can fix this, I know what to do. And even if I don't, I don't want to ask others, and I don't want to burden others. We hear that a lot from men. I don't want to inconvenience or burden others.
Interesting. So that's not just a stereotype, because we hear about that. There's this idea, a stigma, that men are not supposed to burden people. They're not supposed to cry. They're not supposed to feel emotion. So what do you think that has to do with the way that our culture puts men in a box, or the way that we view men as emotional beings?
I think it's, well, I'm not a man, but I think it's very important for us to look at this, and as particularly in my line of work, correlating this to depression and risk for suicide. And I think we have said to men, you know, be tough, be strong, figure it out, and that's not the message that keeps them alive and safe.
I'm talking with Sue Eastgard of University of Washington's Forefront Suicide Prevention Project. How is that changing, if at all?
Well, I think there's a number. I mean, I think suicidologists, experts in the field across this country, are finally sort of waking up and saying, oh, we have to think about a different strategy, a different approach with men. And so there are some beginnings of new programs that are happening. But in closer to home, in the state of Washington, we have made some really concerted efforts to try to focus on this age cohort. Number one, legislation that was just passed this year now requires that the state develop a suicide prevention plan, a strategy that addresses suicide across the lifespan. So up to this point, we've had a youth suicide plan, but we really need to look at how to approach and deal with middle-aged men and women. I think the other thing that we have done importantly in this legislation is now require primary care providers, physicians, and nurses who will now be required to have training to better understand and how to intervene and how to recognize the sort of, we call them invitations. And in particular, I should say one more thing, this particular legislation focuses on veterans, another very high-risk group. Again, mostly men, and this legislation then will mandate training and greater awareness And that leads to, I think, better services and better care.
So specifically, when we're talking about men who we've discussed feel that they have to sort of tough it out, maybe not show so much emotion, not be a burden, are there, in addition to this legislation, specific steps that you would like to see?
Well, I would, sure, I would like to see more programs that sort of understand and address this age cohort. Again, I think we are lacking, not only in the state of Washington, but in our country, about specific strategies. We know how to find adolescents. Most of them are in school. We tend to know how to find and address women because they're more likely to ask for help. So I think we're going to have to be more innovative, figuring out how to find and talk with and support men as they're dealing with these hard issues.
Sue Eastgard is director of training for Forefront, a University of Washington suicide prevention organization. This is The Record.